I like to get a bunch of men together.
Okay.
Men that are the hardest of the hard. And I want to be with these men.
It's the Catechin. Mom and Dad aren't here. So you're with Jay and Bray. Braden, how are we feeling? Kentucky just lost to Texas. So
more frustrated than I would have thought with a loss, because it felt like they had every opportunity to take that one with Quinn Ewers being a zombie, essentially, towards the end there. And just dumb penalties, just the same stuff over and over and over again. We've seen this movie, man. But it's more frustrating when they give you hope. You know what I mean?
A familiar feeling this game was throughout the entire season. There was this one. There's the Tennessee one. There was the, don't get me started on the Georgia one. It's just
Vanderbilt
happening. Oh, man. See, now I'm getting depressed because I think, what is it, every game except for, I guess, Auburn.
And Florida.
Oh, yeah. The Auburn one, that one wasn't like that, but that was arguably the worst team that we
that's the worst loss of the year, like, easily. That's a bad football team, and they worked us,
and we're no longer bowl eligible, so,
which, like, good, I guess, because, like, what do you get at 6-6 and go to a bowl? I don't know. I mean I like bowl games, but for an SEC program, it's kind of like, you know, you don't go to the NIT, really. You know, you choose to sit that one out unless you're, you know, Kentucky and you lose to Robert Morris, I guess. But.
If you're Kentucky, we will gladly take a Music City Bowl appearance or a Liberty Bowl appearance.
Just settle for the Steakhouse appearance.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Someone would love to play in the Outback Bowl or the Jeff Ruby's Bowl. But here we are. We won't be bowling, but we'll still be going to Jeff Ruby's, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's so frustrating because the SEC feels wide open. Like, from top to bottom, and that's the year you got to go 1-7 with several one possession losses. Like, that it's almost more frustrating. Like, it's almost like I'd wish they had just gotten blown out, or like it just wasn't competitive, because they've been in most every game outside of a two or three. What do you say? It's the same problems. Can't run the ball, can't pass the ball, can't stop anybody. The rush, at least, you know, and the. It's not just how many penalties, it's the timing. And I know you know what I'm talking about, but just they cannot get out of their own way. And the season needs to be put down, you know, take it behind the shed, end it.
So it's the lack of discipline. And you got to feel that comes from the top. So you have stuff, stupid stuff, like we're just giving away a free 4 points when you have a guy get – I mean, he did get punched in the end zone. Was it Harrison or was it?
Is Harrison? Yeah, he hasn't played up until this game, I don't think. Yeah, he got hit and then he punched back, but yeah.
And it's a lack of discipline. You're just handing them 4 points there, and that feels like it's become a trend the past few seasons. Because some people, because we were talking to other UK fans today, and I guess the cope this year for defending Stoops is it's one bad season. You can't fire a guy off one bad season. Here's the thing. It's the SEC. You certainly can fire somebody after one bad season. And this is a trend downwards for Stoops. So you can absolutely fire somebody with one bad season, and you have progressively seen the teams get worse and worse and less disciplined.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Like, and it's not just the way they're losing the discipline, and like, yeah, like you say, it's the SEC. He's being paid $9 million roughly a year. Yeah, you can get one bad season. That's
fire Mitch. Fire Mitch for that contract.
Does it equal out with Pope, though? I mean, we'll see. You know,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, and it's not the same issue every game, but it's like one of the, like, pick them. It's a wheel, you know. You spin it. Is it undisciplined ball? Probably always. Is it can't run the football or won't run the football? Why aren't they running the football, Jared? Run the football.
They started the game with a 20-yard run by Wilcox, and then they decided to throw the ball. I think the next run they gave to him was on 2nd and 17, bro. 2nd and 17, they ran the ball. What are you doing? Any type of analytics is going to tell you on 2nd and 17. You don't run on 2nd and long like that, man.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, I know sack numbers are going to deflate this hugely, but, like, you know, with Cutter Bowley having negative 57 rushing yards, that doesn't help. But even without that, would have been, let's see, 78 yards of rushing, even without the sacks. Like, well, actually, that would be making it positive. It's still only, yeah, it'd be like 70 yards of rushing. I don't understand. It's the same every week. Every time, first down, 4 yards. Yeah. Like we were talking during the game, like, they hand it off and – boy, you know, even if he fights for 3 yards, does it again on second down. They give up on it, is what I think. And they either break one that's too long, or not too long, but break an 18-yarder, then try to take a shot, and then it's second and 17, you know, that whole thing. Or yep. They get stuffed for 2 yards and refuse to run it again. Run it again.
Hey, it's like our coaching staff lacks discipline as well.
Rack of discipline. Yeah, absolutely. The OC seems to get real jumpy real quick. But to what? I don't know, because even with – now, we'll get into the quarterback situation, but, like, there's not a lot of guys open. I mean, Dane Key's just a kick returner at this point. I mean, or not Dane Key, excuse me, Barrion Brown. And Dane Key only had one target going into the fourth, you know? And, I mean, it just feels like a whole overall change is needed.
We've seen it. These are two gifted wide receivers, and we're just not able to scheme them open. And the thing is people can blame the OC. You can blame Bush. But we've played the fire the OC game the past couple seasons, whether it's the OC leaving for other jobs or whether we just flat out fire the OC. But there's a common denominator with all of these, and it might be the guy who's hiring these OCs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – I mean, I know I've been defending Stoops because, I mean, he's a good football coach. He's a good football coach, but there's a lot that goes into being the CEO of the program with the hiring of the coaches, like you say. And it's the first time ever they've been held under 21 points in every SEC contest in Kentucky history. They've never had that happen before. I mean, and truthfully, one of the touchdowns was one of the touchdowns. They only scored 7 points offensively tonight. I mean, that's
that defensive touchdown was sweet.
Oh, it was super sick.
It hurt more because it gave me hope.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Exactly. I was going to say, it made me believe for half a second they could do this thing. And then they still had plenty of chances. It really did.
Because at that moment of the pick six, you were looking at that game. You were like, well, we missed the field goal. There's a couple snaps go the other direction. This game's either tied or, God willing, we could be winning this game right now. And then we proceeded not to do anything with that momentum. But that's Kentucky football for you.
It doesn't have to be, though, is the thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking here. Wasn't there – there was two drives, right, that ended in the red zone with no points? Am I mistaken on that, or is that correct? Okay.
I believe so.
Right there. I mean, that's – you know, what was Sark doing, by the way, not putting Arch in the game? Like, come on. Ewers couldn't even move, man. He was playing terrible. He left the door wide open for UK. Not at all. And they got a big one next week that actually matters. Like, put the young kid in. But whatever. Sark's going to Sark. But, like, that was wild. I mean, they could have had that game dead and gone a lot sooner, I feel like.
I was seeing online that people were asking for them not putting Arch in. Did Arch fear Cutter Bowley? Now, I posted it, but I did technically see it online.
I saw it, too, because you posted it. Yeah. You know, he's going to be good. He showed some flashes. It seemed like the play calling opened up a little bit. But, you know, I know we're going to disagree on this, but there is a difference between coming in a game midway through, already down, nothing to lose, just go out there and sling it a little bit versus starting the game and getting – I mean, Brock got literally knocked out of the game. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean,
but here's my thing is even against opponents that weren't very good, Brock wasn't looking like that. And I've been a Brock defender, but then you got Cutter going in there, and he throws a good ball. It's got a little stank on it. I like a little stank.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He also had some of the worst sacks I've ever seen taken. Like, get rid of that thing, young fella. Like, you got to throw that away.
Yeah.
I mean, first round Texas, you know.
He's playing Texas at Austin.
It's true. No, I'm not saying it's easy.
Looking back, I wish he played the full Murray State game.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been – it probably just – you know, it's Brock's got one more year after this, right? If he so chooses to.
Yes. One more year at Kentucky, I don't know.
Right. Unless they send him back and he'll be here. Like, yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think
Yeah,
that.
I don't see him at Kentucky next year.
I mean, we'll see.
We've had this exact situation happen before with quarterbacks where we've started the year with one guy and then another guy comes in and that's our starter for next year. In fact, it would not surprise me at all. It would kind of shock me if Cutter Bowley doesn't start against Louisville.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I would actually be surprised if he didn't, because this situation has played out a couple times, and Stoops almost always goes with the new guy against Louisville.
Is he a true freshman?
Believe so, yeah.
Jay, so he can still play that game. I didn't realize this is only his third game played, so he's still got his red shirt intact if he wishes to, even
Yep.
if he plays this game. So okay, that makes
Well, I
sense. I
was
was
looking
looking at
into
that
that.
too. How, and by the way, side note, how does basketball not have some sort of you can play a few games and then redshirt rule, where football has like a fourth of the season you can do, but like basketball, you play 1 minute in an exhibition, no more redshirt.
Makes no sense. It should be
It makes zero.
like eight halves or something like that in basketball.
It's probably because of those smaller roster sizes, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's
Okay.
like depth and attrition. That's the only thing I can really think of, but just sidebar there.
They're made up rules anyways.
It just
There's
takes
some
somebody to
reason to have it or
sue.
not. Yeah.
Right. Like I think I saw Diego Pavia suing the NCAA in regards to how they look at junior college eligibility so that he can have 2 more years in at the 4 year level, so, or 8 year level, whatever it's become. I don't know. But yeah, we might see a little more of Diego Pavia. I mean, I'm all for that, but like at that point, let's just call it the minor leagues because it's essentially already there.
And not to turn this into the basketball podcast, but I've seen similar things where Kerr Karisa could kind of petition the NCAA to get another year of eligibility because of injuries.
I would hope so. I
I
mean,
would love
I
that.
love me some Kerr Karisa. Yeah, absolutely. That we need more of that dude. But here's oh God, go ahead.
I just would much rather talk about the basketball team than the football team stuff.
Hey, me
But
too.
hey, it's just the two of us. We're the ones putting on a brave face and talking some Kentucky football.
Hey,
And here we
shouts to
are.
basketball though. Yeah, it's true. And like I was mentioning earlier with the this is what's so infuriating is if you look, let's go through this real quick. Out of the games that they've played, I feel like they could have definitely won the Georgia game, right? Even if that pick six comes to like they don't call it back, that they essentially win that game.
Sure.
Against Vanderbilt is right there for the taking. Vanderbilt didn't play that well at all. They just played more disciplined. Didn't remember the huge Dane Key penalties, a couple of them killed some drives.
Yep.
Let drives continue for on
We
the
got
defensive end.
gifted some calls in that game too, though, but I will say it could have gone either way.
It's a one possession game, so I'm gonna count it for the thought
Sure.
experiment. So there's two more games, Georgia and Vanderbilt, right? And the Tennessee game was right there up until the end. This game felt like it could have been, and then Louisville. So if you, I mean, you're even if we, so at that point you'd have the Auburn loss is horrific, and it's
It's
so
really, really
bad.
bad. That and
It
Florida, those are the backbreakers.
Excuse me. Florida though has like turned it on lately though. They beat who'd they beat today? They beat
Ole Miss.
somebody. They did beat Ole Miss, yeah. So oh yeah, with a Jackson Dart at the end through the worst pick that ever after the worst
Worst
pick
one.
before that.
Cutter Bowley would never.
Yeah. I mean Mike though. He threw almost an identical one at the end of that game. So I mean not in a consequential spot, but he did throw it. It was
That's
pretty
not on
bad.
him though. You gotta get up there, Berrion Brown. You gotta make a play on the ball.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Perrion's got the leap. But yeah, that Auburn loss is just so bad. It's their only conference win. They did beat UL Monroe, so there's that. But
Okay, so about equal to us then, probably in terms of.
what's crazy is like you take a team like, okay, let's say Utah State, for example, for obvious reasons. Kentucky would blow them out by 50. But it's just they're in that weird spot of like having really good talent but not great talent. I mean, and discipline thing, but it's the little things that add up and because you're 2 games out of being in that log jam in the middle of the SEC. Like even the top of the SEC, everyone's got 2 losses but Texas and A&M, and they play next week. You know what I mean? That's the most frustrating part of this is it was right there all season if you can capitalize on some things.
It's frustrating to see a team that is clearly full of talent and have coaches who don't get the most out of that talent. That's what it looks like. That's what I've been seeing the past couple seasons since maybe the second Will Levis year, maybe the first Will Levis year. I don't know. These all start to run together because the past few seasons have
Yeah.
been mid, but we've
Well,
been
this is
trending
my.
downwards.
Yeah. Well, I went after that Auburn loss. I was so irritated with like how poorly that went. I went back and looked at the rushing, which just a ton of trends from the last like 4 seasons. So I haven't watched it as closely as I have this year. But They're not running the football. Now, part of me wondered, you know, with this being kind of the first like couple of like, seasons of full-fledged like NIL, it's been the Wild West of like paying players directly. Just it's an open secret. It's not even a secret anymore. It's just you do it. I have a little bit of a curiosity as to how that variable of player empowerment comes into play when it comes to getting the most out of the players. Like, you know what I mean? Because it feels like it takes away a little bit from the power that coaches have. Not to say that, but like when you've got players making more than the coach, not on Kentucky's case, but you get my point overall. Like, players are making a ton of money. There's, I mean, no one, if someone's making $9 million on that Kentucky team, we have real big problems outside of, you know, that's dog. Like, come on.
What are we
So,
doing, man? What are we doing?
no, man, is it? Okay, so the only
Paying
game left
Mark
is.
Stoops $9 million, man.
That's what's so crazy. For a 10-win season, he gets that 9. That's like better than saving money at points. And like, that's. Yo.
What is the return on investment here?
What was
Like,
it
how much are
before?
they
That's what I
making
gotta
from
know.
football in order to pay him that?
More than you do. Man, we went into this the other day, you know, not on the show or whatever, but if football does drive a ton of the money, it is a huge money maker. But not, I mean, $9 million would be pretty cool somewhere else, you know, or even 4.5. Pope's not making 9 million. Come on now. I mean,
I'd love to look at the coaches who are making less than that I would take as the head coach of Kentucky, other than
there's
Stoops.
so many.
It would be a long list. First of which
Yeah, because
being
he's
Tom
like,
Summerall.
we'll get into Summerall because Tulane and that green wave might be flown into Lexington. Let's see. Yeah, because that's where it always breaks down for me. It's like I get that this is a tougher job. It's not because not a lot of the schools in the SEC are basketball first. I mean, I would say that they're likely the only one that's really basketball first for the most part.
Maybe us, maybe art, maybe there could be an argument for Arkansas now.
Are you
But
sad I was for your Arkansas in the SEC?
I think their fan base would probably prefer to be good at football than basketball.
So there's only 8 coaches that make more money than Mark Stoops in the country. So. And those coaches are Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, Steve Sarkisian, Lincoln Riley, Ryan Day, Mike Norvell, Kalen DeBoer, and Brian Kelly. Now, like 3 of those names, I'd say are pretty trash, like comparatively, but or at least on equal ground. But like,
Haven't they all been to the playoffs, though? All those guys?
Norvell
Just
got gypped out of it
he got
last year, I
hosed
think.
last
But
year.
then, yeah, but then like obviously, he has won one game since. It was against Cal on a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Would you
God,
take
imagine paying.
Norvell or Stoops as the head coach of Kentucky?
Stoops, 100% Stoops,
Oh,
Stoops.
okay.
The wheels have never fallen off at Kentucky like there are at Florida State right now. They're the rims off. They're grinding like Flintstone style the bottom of their feet in that car, bro. Like they're that
That's
it,
fair.
they lit themselves on fire and crashed into a tree. Like it's so bad. But I
I
mean, to
wish
your top 10, they're paying him
Florida
ten
State
million.
were this bad last year, because then they probably take Stoops, because Stoops was their DC before coming here.
Oh yeah. Well, they didn't. So that. Oh my goodness, because. You know, for here, let's go just at the $4 million mark. There's, I mean, there's tons of coaches that I would. What's Summerall make
Give me the
now?
guy. Give me Summerall, obviously. But even like, look at
It's
the guy at Arizona State.
yeah.
He's crushing it.
He's
Give me
a.
that guy.
I think he's an ASU alum. And all that. So that was a huge win for them today.
Okay.
So his contract is not public at Tulane. Like it doesn't show what he makes.
Okay.
He made $1 million at Troy a year. And yeah, it's not listed, but like I would it's definitely not 9 million. I know that for sure. Like for I
Okay.
bet anything on it's not $9 million. It's not even $5 million. I'd be surprised if it's even
No,
three, truthfully.
absolutely not. Yeah. But what are we going to do here? We want to talk some Cutter Bowley?
Yeah, I mean, what'd you think? I mean, he came in. When did he come in? When was his first drive? Was it late third or the
Think
early
start of the
fourth?
second half. I think we start of the second
Oh, he
half.
did start the second half. You're right. He's my bad. He started the second half. That's true. And so let's look where he finished up at. 10 of 18, 160 yards and a pick, and just a couple of huge. You got to throw away the ball. You can't get sacked like that a couple times. But I mean, I thought he looked poised. He, you know, I know I was giving you crap, but he looked good in the pocket. I thought he moved around well, and he had a little zip on the ball, a little stank, as he put it.
Little
But
stank on it.
still,
I like a stanky ball.
I
Guilty.
mean,
Guilty. I like a
if
stanky
they could
ball.
catch it, you know, he
That was a
seemed to have some
problem.
moxie. He's a gamer, but I mean, he again, still, it's just one of those things. Like I would love to see him in full game. Like, why didn't he play the whole? Murray State game. That would have been ideal. You know, the other thing, with Bully, does he have, is he much of a rushing threat at all? Are we hoping for that from him?
Or Cutter is he Bully mostly can do just anything.
Okay, but realistically, though, like, say some there's defenders in his way and, like, they're better at than the O-line. Like, such as tonight where he lost 57 yards on fourth. Right, so that's what I would hope for sure. But he ended up, you know, negative 57 in the rushing total, and literally. So that's tough. But that doesn't necessarily mean he can't run. Obviously, he's a big kid, 6'5", 214. You know, can throw. He's probably pretty good. I think they said he was, like, the top three recruit out of Kentucky or something.
Yeah, he's a 4-star or 3-star, depending on which service you're looking at. But he looked good.
Okay.
He looked the part.
Yeah, I mean, all intents and purposes, he looked pretty good. I think it wouldn't matter who you have
pretty
back there when you're – I mean, pretty good given the circumstance. I thought, okay.
Unreal.
The guy didn't – what did he do well, in your opinion?
Well, he went over the stank. you could just – You know, like, it's hard because I don't coach football or I'm sure we don't watch the game the same way, but just the way that he seemed to carry himself in the pocket, you could feel the confidence. He didn't seem to play afraid, or like we've seen Brock, right, where Brock will, as soon as he feels the pressure, he just tucks it and runs. It looks like Cutter was sort of maneuvering the pocket a little bit better. And he stays looking downfield.
That's fair, and that's a good assessment. That is what I noticed. He seemed to handle himself not like a true freshman. He seemed to have some moxie, and I know these are all buzzwords or whatever, but he did maneuver the pocket really well. But I did think it was funny, though, the announcers were saying that Kentucky's rushing attack was one-dimensional because they weren't running the quarterback. But then the second that Bully stays in the pocket, they said what you said. I'm not either of you are wrong, but they just contradicted themselves by saying, you know, Bully's just navigating the pocket. You know, like they need to – Like, it's perfect that he's doing that. And when Brock runs on a designed run, they say he's not doing that. That's one-dimensional. They need him to run. It's like a double standard. They were really soft on Bully's performance. It was good, but he also held onto the ball. Like, those are some of the worst sacks I've ever seen. Like, he really, really took – like, was his first play, like a 28-yard loss? Of course. And it's a freshman – it's a freshman mistake. I get it. I'm not trying to rip him apart, but I just don't – I don't know that it matters who's back there with the O-line and the lack of a running game. They can just tee off.
Right.
Like –
What I liked is we get into sort of a scramble drill today, and on more than one occasion he's able to make a play. I have not seen that from Brock. I don't think I've seen Brock complete a pass on the run the entire season. And I haven't even been a guy who's like been hating on Brock or anything like that. I'm just
no, you have you've been a defender.
Yeah, I'm just saying what I'm seeing, and I see a spark with Bowley. And I don't know. We've seen it where the backup quarterback's everybody's favorite player on the team, but this
to
is a team clearly in need of a spark. And I really want to beat Louisville, even though I would love to be a puppet for the last episode.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't Brock have that scramble drill touchdown today on the outside where he dumped it off? He held onto it and kind of ran outside the pocket, and the only touchdown of the day wasn't that a.
He did, and that actually feels rude for you immediately. Contradicting what I just said.
No, it's not that. I just was.
Thank you, everybody, for watching the Catechin. Please like and subscribe. No, you're right.
No,
you're right. So
I
was holding on to a talking
remember.
Point that I've had since before today's game because Brock didn't do any of that pre this.
It
game.
Was super
specifically
abnormal.
The Florida
it looked
game.
Weird. The
but.
Florida game is one, but I'm still stuck on that Auburn loss. Like, that is a bad football team, dude. Like, I know we talked about it, and nobody watched that episode because it's really depressing and the worst football I've seen all year. But it's like the microcosm of the whole season, man. Like, there's just no belief. Like, even when we were all talking and watching the game, and it felt like, well, that was good, but it's not going to matter. You know, okay, we'll see. Like, don't get our hopes up. And it just feels like they – either come out strong, up 10-0, and then don't score the rest of the game, or they come out and just get waxed for a couple quarters, and then they start to slowly chip away at it. It feels like they can't put it together in any of the three phases, whether it's the defense getting gashed with the run. I mean, the run defense was a strength, but you can only send them out there so often, and before they just get killed. I mean, they're a good run defense, but by the end of that game, it looked like they're parting the Red Sea, man. It was just like a bus could drive through those holes there.
So. I have asked you this in a previous episode of this podcast that nobody apparently watched because it still has under 50 views. But
which is
I
fine.
Will ask you it again with these issues. Where do you think that the fault lies?
I think last time I said that it does all the buck stops Stoops, but it also like there's but I'll change my answer a little bit. It's got to be Stoops at this point because it's not. It has to be because it's not just the offense. It's not just the defense. It's not just the undisciplined factor. It's not just the worst timing penalties. Just the worst, like, boneheaded plays. Like, yeah, Harrison played great outside of, like, costing that drive. That changes the whole game. He was making play after play. We haven't seen him in the secondary all year. It was fantastic. Yep. He looked great. But the fact that he hadn't played all year and comes in and does the exact same type of boneheaded stuff the rest of the guys have been doing, it's a culture problem, I think. And sometimes, even though, you know, Stoops kind of brought Kentucky back to relevance or to relevance, really, for the first time in a long time, it has definitely lost its luster. And this is a little bit of a tangent, but I did think about this, where Kentucky's a school that, like, when their coach does well, they can pay him, right? And
yeah,
they
absolutely.
Did. They paid him the $9 million. Whereas, like, Utah State, right? Gary Anderson comes in a similar type situation. We haven't had a winning season since, like, 97. Goes 4-8, 4-8, 7-6, and then 12-2. Or, yeah. 11-2, and then he leaves, right? It's how, and then he comes back for a second stint later on and is terrible. And it makes me wonder if, like, you know, that you peak with those 10 win seasons, and normally that's when a guy would ascend somewhere else, like in Utah State scenario.
Yeah.
And we always
yeah.
think, oh, I wish we still had that guy. I wish we still had that guy. But if you let it play out longer, maybe it does lose its luster because sometimes a new voice is just needed. And it really feels like that at this point, even
you
regardless
see it everywhere.
Of next week.
You see
yeah,
it everywhere.
Exactly.
Eventually, a new voice is needed in the locker room. We saw it with
exactly.
the basketball team. You see it in professional sports all the time. You
right.
see Phil Jackson with the Bulls. Eventually, whether it was warranted or not, you know, people just want something new. And whether that's from the fan base or whether Stoops might just want something new and appears to be over it a little bit.
I've heard rumor that they're, and I don't know anything. This is just, you know,
we got
a
sources.
Less than 50.
Well,
some,
we have sources
but,
who have sources.
Yeah, more so on the basketball side, but there's been some talk of a negotiated buyout. I don't know if you're Stoops. I let it ride at this point. Like, fire me. I dare you.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I do. I don't blame them.
And unless they've got something in their bag for cause that nobody knows about, then yeah, I'm riding that thing out all the way to the bank because why not? I mean, I don't. He's it'll probably be his last coaching job, wouldn't you say? How old is he? Yeah.
Let's see. I would think this would be his last job, unless he wants to take something small. Like if he takes like the Youngstown State job, I can see him taking something like that, just because that's where he's from. Stoops also feels like he could be like a Maction guy.
He does. Yeah,
just
no, that's
for,
true.
Just,
he's 57.
So that's
yeah.
that's young. That's young for a coach.
He doesn't look 57, my goodness. And also the Stoops brothers, they end it early all the time. His brother did. He retired at
they
what
always
age?
Do.
Like, I mean, and with all the personal, I think he had some stuff, you know, rest in peace to his mom and all that. But
yeah.
It feels like the pressure's kind of getting to him just because he's kind of, I don't know if he's always been like this, and you can tell me, but like he seems real curt and short and kind of like just kind of in a bad mood all the time, like with the media and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe he's always been like that, but it feels like especially so right now. Like he's kind of just like, kind of, you know how, I don't know if you've seen the clips of Biden lately, like giving like smart ass answers to the press. That's kind of what it feels like with Stoops. He's like just saying, you know, we got to tie our shoes, like stuff like that.
It,
you know, that I don't.
It feels like, it feels very much so like late John Calipari here,
mm-hmm.
where it's just a coach who just is kind of seems over it. And it seems like he maybe has some regrets with the Texas A&M thing. It still looks like we have a Texas A&M job offer hangover from the end of last season. It kind of just
so,
changed the vibes.
Tell me about that a little bit, because I wasn't around for like. So did it? Was the rumor was he's going to take it? He was offered. Like where? How far along did that process go? Like was he telling his assistants type stuff or what?
Depends who you ask. So
okay.
A lot of the A&M people will say that he was going to get it and that he like. Got off the plane and they told him he wasn't going to get it and then he just flew back. There's some Kentucky people who say that he got offered it and that he took it and that he was trying to get some assistance and a lot of the assistants didn't want to go and that he ultimately changed his mind and turned down A&M. Either way, it seems that he wanted to go to Texas A&M and
yeah.
now he just found himself back at Kentucky and seems to be at in kind of a spot that he doesn't really want to be in. And it's showing on the field.
I mean, yeah, dude, 1-7 in the SEC is just so bad. Like, it, you know, without Mississippi State having Mike Leach die, literally, it's the only way it was a team finished lower. That's yep. rough. Rest in peace, you know, Mike Leach. But
we go.
That, I mean, okay, so lastly, you know, last thing is that we've got on the season is Louisville. I mean, that's what everyone tells me. And looking at it, it's so strange to me, like, how few games have been played between Louisville and Kentucky. It's like they had like a 70-year break in from like the 20s to the 90s where they didn't play at all. Do you know why that was at all? Just kind of like big brother in them or what?
Yeah, I'm actually not too sure. I know the basketball rivalry doesn't go back as far as you would think too.
That's so strange to me. I mean, it makes some sense, but you know, it looks like it.
I mean, putting a mid-major on our schedule is just kind of a pain anyways. So like, why do that?
I mean, yeah, most of the time I get what you're saying. I will. What do you think the line's going to be for that game? I think it's going to be Louisville minus 10, maybe 7, because it's at Kentucky. But I mean,
don't matter. Cats roll. Don't matter. Cards, man. It'll be really weird because if Stoops loses to Louisville, you're going to have a lot more people calling for his job. And it seems to be growing game after game. But if he wins, I could see that being a clean out for him to where he would just be like, all right, guys, beat Louisville one last time. See you later. And then we still build the trophy for him. Because it's tough because Kentucky was in a bad way before he took over.
Sure.
And for a while, he was everybody's favorite coach at the school. He was more popular than John Calipari for a while.
To the point where it made Calipari mad, right?
Yeah, when there was the feud between the two of them over the basketball football school thing, I was Team Stoops on it because it's just like, well, Stoops is having more success than Cal lately. So it's just – it kind of stinks to – I don't want Kentucky to have to fire Mark Stoops when he's – I mean, he's the winningest coach in school history, and he kind of has built the program from nothing, from two win seasons, from being the least talented team in all of Power 5.
Yeah.
And maybe outside of that, been worse than some of the non-power schools. So he built it from that and got us some 10 win seasons and got us to the point where we expect bowl eligibility. So I still want to have good memories of Mark Stoops.
And yeah.
It feels like if he stays for another season or two, it's going to start to get really ugly. And I can see him wanting to avoid that.
Man, it's with that vacated 2021 season, he's got a losing record technically at Kentucky, and it's still the second best, like, overall. That's crazy. His SEC record is really brutal. And I get it's the SEC. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But 28-61. And again, this is taking out that 10-win season. Like, I don't know why they do. I mean, vacating wins is the dumbest punishment on planet Earth. I think I've seen them. Yeah, you can't tell me it didn't happen, okay? I saw it with my eyes. Like, I know this. But, you know, 7-6, 7-6, now 3-6 this year. Is that correct? Yeah, 3-7, actually.
Gosh.
That's not ideal.
What an awful season.
People
were talking playoffs before the season started, dude.
I know. And honestly, I didn't think it was that crazy. I thought they were going to –
It wasn't.
Remember South Carolina? I said, oh, they're going to work South Carolina. South Carolina barely scraped by Old Dominion. And then they just put it on the Cats. I think we had 30 yards of passing. 30 yep. for the whole game.
Should have played Cutter Bowley.
Cutter Bowley would be dead if he played in that game, bro. Their pitchers was insane. Like, I'm like shouts to the coaching staff for sparing the young kid. You know, he's probably gotten better since then. And probably a little more. He got in the weight room a few more months. But that would have been, I get what you're saying, but like.
It's frustrating because every game, something goes wrong. In these losses, something goes wrong. And it's always something different. So there's not really one thing you can point your finger at for why we're losing these games. And when there's not one thing you can point your finger at, it's like, well, who's the person responsible for this?
It's stupid. I mean,
it is. And I hate saying that. I used to love this guy.
At this point, And he still did really good things for the school. It's just a matter of like, it's the SEC. It's the $9 million. Forget the SEC. It's the $9 million paycheck. You cannot be a top 10 paid coach and win 7-6, 7-6, 3-6, 3-7, whatever. And expect like, that's crazy, dude. One season like that'll get you like canned elsewhere. You know what I mean? In the SEC, maybe not Vanderbilt, but you get my point.
He's got us by the balls though. He'll be the coach here as long as he wants to be. I mean, they can try to work out a buyout, but if you're him, what's your incentive for taking a buyout? Like that
Maybe
buyout's gonna be minimal at most.
the social pressure of the job being one, hating the
Okay.
job with the new NIL. Like, I'm just trying to think here because, yeah, there's not a lot of things that would get me to quit and not get $44 million. Like, I'd do pretty much almost anything, and I would endure it for however long I needed to get that.
People would be like, "Coach, want me to quit?" And I'd be like, "Those people could go F themselves. You're gonna pay me."
Yeah, no, seriously, but like, I think if they negotiated it somewhere, probably in like the, I don't know, maybe like a, or I don't know what the percentage of, maybe say they did 3/4 or something to spare, and then he gets to go out kind of like on good terms, maybe, because maybe it is, the legacy is important. Maybe he's not going to go somewhere else. Maybe, you know what I mean? Because there is something to be said for the fact, like the amount of goodwill that reviving a program, any program really, but one that is down in the doldrums as Kentucky had been for so long. There's merit to that, and that'll get you a long ways, but you'll burn it up the longer you're here and having these bad seasons where it's just not even it's competitive in the most frustrating ways. They're close enough that it just irritates the hell out of me to watch their games. I wish they just get blown out at times because it's like, stop giving me hope. Stop. I know it's going to be taken. It's not a good year for football, man.
The show would be a lot funnier if we got blown out today. We'd be having a lot more fun with it.
Or if they won, either way,
Yeah.
it's just the fact that there's a turd in the middle of the sandwich, and I'm like, oh, it was pretty okay at Barnes, but there's a turd in the sandwich, so not
Some people pay
ideal.
good money for those, but
Yeah, not that kind, I don't think. That the 1-7 SEC record sandwich is not my favorite shit sandwich to eat.
we're
That
paying
is,
$9 million for it, so.
that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one thing to go 2-10 in his first year. I got to know what he was making at the beginning. It was less than that, obviously. You got that big extension after the 2-10 wins seasons, but
Yeah.
jeez, dude. But again, it yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, Mitch Marthart was giving out these bad contracts like hotcakes.
Yeah.
It's
Well,
crazy.
because
What
he
is
had
going on? What happened?
I think competitive football blinded him for a second because he never had it, honestly, and that's a big deal. Because even when you're like, Kentucky basketball is the brand in college basketball, and it will forever be the brand. It's the biggest, it's the oldest, it's most, one of the most successful. It's by the money, it's by far and away the most valuable brand in basketball, but it
Yeah.
still pales to most football programs. And that's got to be frustrating as Kentucky's athletic director specifically, I'd imagine, because the big time stuff, like money wise, is in the football aspect. Disagree or agree, that's the way it is money wise. So I wonder if they saw the 10-win seasons, were like, okay, we're at the table, pay the
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
he got us.
I'm sure
and
they were
and
seeing the dollar bills too, so they were like, okay, yeah, anything to maintain this.
but I'm just looking at his career record, and it's crazy to me. He was never a head coach before
Yeah.
Kentucky. That seems like an odd.
Defensive coordinator at Florida State, where I took over here.
Right. I just feel like, how many other did do you think of any other SEC schools that hire coordinators? Like, as a first time head
Kirby
coach, it just
Smart.
seems like it. Okay,
Boom.
fair enough.
Boom.
That's a really good point. Fair enough. All
Boom.
right. Fair enough. Fair enough. But he was, like one of the most successful. I don't remember
We reached out to him
seeing.
before Mark Stoops. He turned us down. Makes sense.
Okay. All right.
That was a
All right.
wild coaching search. We reached out to Kirby Smart. I think we reached out to Cliff Kingsbury. Reached out to Mike McIntyre. I don't even know if you remember who that is. He was the coach at Colorado for a little while.
Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury, no one I've ever seen failed upward better than that guy. Like, he
Oh,
just
yeah.
loses all the time. And with
He's going to be
generational
an
talent,
NFL
he just
coach
keeps
next
losing.
year. He's going to get another NFL gig.
Because him and Sean McVay held hands in an airport a little bit. Like, that's like why people think he's good. Like, he didn't even win with Mahomes in college, dog. Like, come on.
Nope.
That's crazy. You could win with one dude in college like that, and he didn't. All that's left is Louisville. You think they win. I think they lose. Dude, have you watched any Louisville games this year?
Yes, we watched it together.
Which one? The Miami one? Or which
SMU.
one? Oh,
SMU.
SMU.
We were holding hands and
Forget.
kissing most of the time, but it was on.
I forget. I think I was more like shocked that BYU had beaten that SMU team. At the time, that's why I
Well,
was
you also
mostly.
got up in the middle of it and started crying and saying, I don't know what this means anymore, or I don't know who I am anymore.
Something like that, yeah. Okay, my point is I think they're a lot better than Kentucky is this year. I my
Yeah.
emotions aside, mid game, I think that they should have beat Miami. They didn't. The ACC called in a favor, and but I mean, I've seen, they did lose. They lost some other games, but I just think it'd be a really good win for Kentucky. I think that they'll be the underdog for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, we're not gonna
But
be
you
the favorite.
think
But do you want to see? This is what you're gonna be for a future episode. We got the prototype ready to go, or the puppet bet.
man, I still
I
have
hope you have
nightmares
fun with
thinking
that.
about it. I
So
will.
here's what I'm
It's not a.
thinking. We're making an addendum to the puppet bet
Oh,
because
are we?
I think, well, because. Is the puppet bet a punishment? Is my question. So I think with when it lands on it, you can either accept or defer the privilege or punishment. So you can either accept to be the puppet or you can make me be the puppet. And whichever
By
one it
winning
lands
the
on, you can
bet.
either. Yes.
Okay. 'Cause I was gonna say, if I, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I don't mind you. I was just thanking God it wasn't
You don't
the
have to worry
review
about
in the
it because
video.
Kentucky's going to win. I was just letting you know the rules.
Fair enough. I mean, I would love that. This isn't a Louisville podcast.
It's
It's I don't want it to be, but just with my eyes watching it, if the same two teams that I've been watching this season show up, it's gonna be Louisville. A lot, Kentucky less than a lot.
Do you think with the way we played Texas today, if we played that against Louisville, we still lose?
Oh yeah. I think Quinn Ewers couldn't play football for 2 quarters, and I think that
That's
really
fair.
opened the door. Like I feel like
That's fair.
Texas should have blown the doors off of Kentucky after a couple of those. And then even that touchdown that brought it to 14 for Kentucky was kind of a weird Quinn Ewers couldn't get rid of the ball thing. So I mean, I'm not
Yeah.
trying to poo-poo on it. That's just bad football all around.
So
But
do you
hey,
think that we start Brock against Louisville, or do you think we should start Cutter?
I think if Brock was concussed, like they said, there's probably going to be a way. Because I think the coaching staff and just everyone in general would prefer to see Bolie out there. For because what do you have to? I mean, you're playing for pride at this point and the seniors. And I think if Brock, where he was concussed or whatever, I think that's an easy enough way to. I don't know how to say this. Like basically, not play him in the final game.
Yeah.
Without it like causing a big stir. Does that make sense? Like what I'm trying to get at there. Like I think it's hard sometimes to do it, but he could still maintain his red shirt. He's only played in 3 games. I think it'd be. I mean, you can have Brock be ready, as the backup, but like I think you have to try.
You think they treat the Louisville game as a bowl game? Where you just
They
kind of
better.
see what you got with these guys? Yeah.
Well, it depends. Like treat it like a bowl game. Like some schools, like when they go to a bowl game, it's like the Super Bowl, right? And then other schools, it's like, oh,
Yeah.
it's not the playoff. We don't give a damn, and we're not going to play. But I think that they better treat it like it's the Super Bowl, or they're going to get beat. I don't think that there's because they're either going to do that, or I feel like they're going to show up and get rolled because like the vibes will be dead all time. Like Louisville goes and gets a quick touchdown, and it just the wheels are going to come off even more. So I hope that they treat it like it's the last stand, the last you go out on a winning note, that kind of cliche stuff. Because there's nothing
Yeah.
else to play for. Even an APR bowl is probably out of the question at this point. So I don't know if that's even going to
Yeah,
be a
probably not.
thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
But you think if they lose that game, it's going to be even louder calls for. I mean, they're not going to fire him. There's no way they can fire the guy. I mean, they can. I mean, he might want to
No.
leave a little more if he loses to Louisville. That might be more on the side of like, hey, maybe we talk still a reduced buyout, but.
I think you're onto something with the social pressure, though, because when you can't even go to the Kroger without people saying something to you about
Yeah.
the football team, or you can't go to, whichever steakhouse you choose to attend that night without people,
Any
looking
number
at you.
of
Yeah. It might just be a quality of life thing.
Yeah. And I've seen stuff like that where like it they like I don't think it's bad enough to like force him out or to like pay that, you know, to just be like, what, I like get rid of you. I mean, I don't think it's there, but I think it's close. And I think he's kind of close to being like, ah, this isn't what I want to do anymore. Because the NIL's changed things, man.
If you're Mitch Barnhart, and we talk to a large number of Kentucky fans on a regular basis, if you're Mitch Barnhart, I think you got to be worried about what the season tickets look like next year if you bring Stoops back.
It'd be interesting to see. I would love to see the numbers on like year to year, because we have talked to a lot of guys, and guys that are in the know as far as like the boosters and things like that, or that at least somebody that knows somebody, about how they want to pull their financial support, which is, in my opinion, is not the best idea. But I get the sentiment, like it's been brutal all year.
We also reportedly have some corporate NIL funding coming in from our assistant coach Eddie Grant has pulled in, which that doesn't feel like if they were planning on splitting up next year, they probably don't try to do something like that. So it's conflicting. It's snip, snap, snip, snap with this program. I have no idea what to expect. I just hope that John Summerall is my head football coach next season.
That'd be great. I think you'd do a great job. Just, I don't see Stu. I think Stoops will be the coach next year, unless he chooses to walk away. But
Are you trying to hurt my
yeah,
feelings?
no, I really don't like. Trust. You think I like watching 1-7 SEC football? I promise I don't. I mean, I like it because it's football, but like, dog, it drives me nuts. Like having to just watch. It's the same every single time too. Either like they got the doors blown off them a couple times, but that Auburn one really shifted how I felt about the whole staff and everyone in general. I don't think that it's a good fit anymore at all. Like you can't, dog, it's Hugh Freeze and with the worst, a team that he was like, well, look what I inherited. It's terrible. Like their coach said that and they beat the brakes off Kentucky. Like that's tough. By the way, random, the westernmost game ever played for UK. I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but that's kind of crazy. Like no, Texas is the furthest west they've ever been.
I think because they under Bear Bryant we played the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, and I think previously that might have been the furthest. And Austin, I believe it was west in Dallas, west of Dallas.
Yeah,
So that makes sense.
it's just odd because like even Utah State played at Temple this year. Like that's way further than like coming to Texas. You know what I mean? I understand it's an SEC program. They don't often have to go on the road like cross country like that. But I guess I hadn't really thought of it. They've literally been on that side of the country the entire time. Maybe they'd win more games. West Coast football is not very good apparently.
Should go play in Logan.
Hey, you know what is crazy is Utah State's offense is actually they won again today, by the way.
Oh, good for
And
y'all.
like 41 to
Must
20
be
is
nice.
insane. It's
Trying to get
not.
like you.
You know, it's almost again more frustrating that we're going to probably win five games and not go to a bowl when we lost to Temple and some other losses. I'm blacking out that we New Mexico. That was tough. Anyways, moving on. Yeah, Cutter Bowl, you got to start the next game. Louisville's going to probably win that game. You're going to be a
No.
puppet at that point. It's so frustrating, dude. Like it's not just that they lose, it's that they don't run the ball. That it drives me crazy. You know me and run the ball. Like just run the ball.
Yeah.
The
There's
quarterback.
nothing in the world more frustrating than watching a bad football team because it's such a emotional sport, and just I think it's just the way that the game is played. There's
Yeah.
that tension and that frustration builds throughout the course of the game. There's just nothing worse than having a bad football team.
And there's some things like okay, like even like I say with you know Utah State, like they're bad, but the last like four or five games they've played really hard and haven't had the dumb penalties, haven't had the poor discipline mistakes, things like that. Now they're playing bad teams,
Must be
but
nice.
it's not though. Again, it's almost more frustrating. Point is that it's the stop on you get a stop and we're getting the ball back and wait a minute, we punch somebody in the end zone on a meaningless play. Like on a play that like you weren't even involved in, like that kind of stuff breaks the back of a game, a season of a team. Like that, it's not just the fact they're losing. It's they're putting themselves in the worst positions and just shooting themselves in the foot and dancing and celebrating down 21. You know, as they get an incomplete pass that a guy drops, like stuff like that is just it. And we need changes, man. That was tough to watch.
Give me John Summerall. So, anything else you want to add before we head out of here on a very somber note?
Basketball's really good. Like, thank goodness for that. Football's got one more to go, and
We always have much
just
hope.
that. Yeah, can he coach football? I bet he probably could, at least from like a
That'd be
mental
great.
standpoint. Hire a couple coordinators, like I'll get you ready at least. Like I'm ready to run through a
Yeah.
wall for that dude, you know? And I just need cheering that he used to beat Utah State. He beat him every time we played him, so you know, still coming around. But no, I think I do think Stoops is gonna be your coach next year. I do think Louisville gonna win next week, and it's just gonna be a sour off season, man. I know that's like the worst news that you could hear, but I think that buyout's enormous, and I don't think there's any way around it. Like everyone's super frustrated. Like everyone we're talking to was just irritated beyond belief. And I think the only spark there in that game was Bully. And even then, I have my doubts. But you know, he did play
Whoa, whoa,
okay.
whoa. That's my future goat right there.
Does he start the Louisville game? Do you think so?
Absolutely. No question.
Does he finish it?
Yeah.
I'm just curious what you think, because I think
No
he's
doubt.
gonna have a real tough time with that pass rush because the O-line's just Swiss cheese right now.
We
And they
ran
can't
into
run
the
block.
same position a few years ago with two quarterbacks, Patrick Toles and Drew Barker. That over the course of the season, when it didn't look like we're gonna be bowl eligible, Stoops throws in the Kentucky kid, actually replaced another Kentucky kid, but everyone wanted the young Kentucky kid, the fresh one, put in Drew Barker. We did not win that game, but he played Drew Barker, and I think
Okay.
we're seeing a similar situation play out.
Yeah,
But Cutter Bowley's
I
gonna win, and he's gonna win
hey.
big. He's going to win so much that we're going to get tired of winning.
If Cutter Bowley beats Louisville and he is the start, that will be a massive boost, I feel like, to morale, but almost to a detriment, because I think Stoops is going to be here either way, and it's going to be frustrating to watch when they inevitably do beat Louisville, because I can't predict. So, dude, I thought I knew football. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about the season. I was wrong on everything. Basketball been okay so far, but football, nope, I don't know a thing. BYU's too good. Kentucky's
If it makes you
terrible.
feel any better, I don't think Mark Stoops does either. So, on that note, thank you for joining the Catechin. I'm Jared. That's Braden. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a comment. We'll chit chat it up with you. Go Cats!
Go Cats.